broadcasting sports entertainment. It's Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad, the Dad, and I am by myself because it is a 3-hour podcast and nobody wanted to do this with me. I could not bribe my children. And as you may have heard on the Christmas show, Greg has been injured. Eric took him out with a pile driver, so his neck is not there. So, hold on. Just give me a second. I don't normally leave my phone on, but I'm going to turn it off because I just got a buzz. Okay. Just give me 2 seconds. I'm going to pause the podcast and I'm going to pick it up right here in a second because I have a special surprise for you.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review. I know I already did this part, but I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
Greg, I had to come all the way to your hospital room in order to do this morning, so if they get any extra noises, it's because of the beeps and the buzzes of your hospital bed.
I am here under against doctor's orders, but I am trying my best here, Brad. I'm not medically cleared to compete here in a podcast, but here I am.
I've also heard that you may re-injure your neck if we talk too much.
That is a distinct possibility.
Okay, so, well, we'll do our best to keep this short, Doc. Yes, I know he's not supposed to be doing this. Your doctor's, like, the doctor here is pretty bossy.
Oh, yeah, you better believe my doctor's pretty bossy.
All right, Greg, you have been away on special assignment. You had a vacation to your home and native land of Newfoundland, the last province to join Canada. Most people probably don't know that.
That is correct. I am still here, actually, as there are two people that in wrestling that never lose a match. One is Father Time and the other is Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is not letting me go over here today. I'm actually storm stuck here now. As we're recording, I'm getting live kind of updates and stuff. It looks like now I might get home sometime during the what appears to be 18-hour AEW style Raw that we're getting on Monday night.
You'll be able to watch it from that, but it's on Netflix, so you can watch it on the plane on the way home.
But I'm not taking the plane. I'm driving.
Oh, so I forgot you drove all the way.
Yeah.
There.
So I'm actually, we were hoping to get out ahead of the storm, but the boat, decided first thing this morning, after us being watching it for the last 3 days and the car pretty well packed. Then we got the notice that, hey, your crossing has been canceled. So I am literally stuck here now. We're hoping to cross Monday during the daytime hours. So I think I'll maybe get home hopefully by midnight or shortly thereafter. So we'll see. We'll see.
Dear God. And they're doing all of this in a neck brace, Greg. It's really impressive.
I tell you, I feel very Bobby the Brain at this point.
Yeah. I hope you heal faster than, Bob Orton Senior or Junior.
That poor arm brace there, or the arm cast. Yeah, it's bad. But yeah, no. All things considered, like I said, I am kind of stuck here for now. You know, I'd rather be stuck here on land and at my mom's place than to be, you know, stuck in the middle of the North Atlantic and, you know, with the ship going up and down and rolling and all that stuff. So,
yeah, there's nothing worse than that experience of your stomach just feeling like you're always moving. Yep. Now, I've been stuck on a boat for a while, especially in stormy seas.
Yeah.
So, Greg, other than that, everything is okay.
Everything is as fine as they're going to be. I may need a divorce attorney by the time I get back. So if anyone has a good one, you know, shoot me a message, but we'll see.
Yeah, Greg, it is how do you say this? It's one of the fun parts about traveling is that eventually you all get sick of each other, especially if you're a little bit towards introverted and you're all sharing space and you're not, everything's not where it should be.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, when they said this was going to be 3 hours, I dreaded it. And yes, credible sources like Sean Burkhead told us months in advance it was going to be 3 hours. But today, Greg, it came home.
Yeah, this is where I'm wondering, Brad, as you know, they announce it's a 3-hour SmackDown. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's been a good career.
I think back to our original conversations all those years ago when the podcast contest started and I was big NXT head and you were like, no, NXT. And then I think about having to have sat through the tie-dyed era and going, you know, now NXT doesn't seem so bad. Three or four PLEs a year, 2 hours a week. I can't imagine this show like every week at 3 hours. Although the good thing is it's on Netflix and you can watch it at 1.5.
That's my hope. I'm curious to see how that's going to kind of work out in real time. I mean, last night I was watching SmackDown on YouTube from behind. So like I tried to catch up a little bit through the commercials.
Did you watch it in Canada or do you have to go somewhere else?
No, I watched it in Canada.
So I couldn't get my Canadian one to work. So I had to go to England to make it work. It always works from England because that's what I watch.
Yeah, no, I clicked on the link that I can't remember if it was Jimmy or Donnie posted.
Yeah.
And it worked fine for me. So I watched that and I basically, honestly, I went to bed after the 2-hour mark and watched the last hour this morning. And honestly, that was the best way to watch SmackDown, if I'm being 100% honest. I kind of heard the rumors yesterday that there may be a title change tonight, or last night. So I went and was waiting on bated breath and thought, okay, it's not going to be this match. It's not going to be this match. Maybe it's this match. And then I kind of figured, well, maybe it's going to be something that, well, we saw. So. Yeah.
And I waited for the title change too. And then that was where I went to bed as well. It was, and this might be how we do the podcast from now on. It might come out around lunchtime because we're not. Yeah,
we're not.
No. Well, I mean, even if we were in like, I don't know, which time zone would be good. The only time we're going to be doing this early is probably when it's like, hey, live from Italy, it's SmackDown. Greg and I are working from home this afternoon. And
Well, I'll tell you, Brad. I mean, let's before we get into SmackDown, let's talk a little bit of news here.
Okay, so I have to hit the news singer right now.
So there's a couple of things to note as we kind of get into this this episode of SmackDown. The first one is that on Friday, well, first of all, before I even do that, I apologize to anyone if my audio quality is not what it normally is. I'm here literally using a work, like a work headset that I would use on a work call, not for recording podcasts. So I apologize if the audio is not at its usual thing. It will get back when things get to normal.
And you actually make it off of out of Newfoundland.
Yeah, well, all right. So going into news, PW Insider reported on Friday that Royal Rumble 2026 is set to be emanate from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I saw that and I almost cried, Greg. I'm like,
yeah. So it's going to be Saudi Arabia. Now, where in Saudi Arabia is still TBD, but. Yeah, it's going to be in Saudi next year. So that's going to be interesting. The other bit of news out of yesterday, of course, was the SmackDown ring match. As you noticed last night on the show, SmackDown's ring mat was blue. A little bit different. But it's not just SmackDown. It's getting a new ring mat that we are looking to see additional ring mats to be used. There's a picture floating around on the internet of one that was used, I guess, during setup and stuff yesterday that features the Fortnite logo where Prime logo used to reside, as well as two corners with Riyadh Season and the other two corners with Real American Beer Hulk Hogan's product. There were also two cricket logos and a single Netflix logo and stickers logos. So don't know when that's going to be used, but it looks like we are going to see, you know, logoed everything coming up, product placement up the wazoo.
It's why are we surprised? Once we got the Prime logo on there, once the genie was out of the bottle, this was It's going to look like a UFC octagon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're getting to. So, and you know what, whatever at this point, but yeah, that's really the kind of two bits of news prior to SmackDown, I guess, but, or as a result of SmackDown plus, I mean, what happened on the show, but, Kairi Sane is out of action with an arm injury. She posted on Instagram. She's currently dealing with an arm or injury, and her arms in a cast appear to be in a hospital.
Yeah, which explains why she's out. Which out of that tournament, she probably did that. I got to tell you, one good thing about all this was, I'm not the one that normally curses, but fuck Sportsnet. The YouTube player was so much better last night than anything I've experienced in the last 2 years.
Yeah. No, that's fair. A couple other stories to point out. The Rock has been awarded $14 million in TKO stock in a new SEC filing that was revealed on Friday night. So congratulations on The Rock on making even more money. And what else do we have here that we should probably talk about?
Like 8 million wrestlers got engaged over Christmas break.
Yeah, I don't know what was in the water. Maybe this is the bad thing about Triple H giving everyone time off. They got time to spend with people and can get engaged. I don't know. I kid, of course.
No, it's funny. Like, it's like, hey, you get to spend time with family and loved ones, and maybe something romantic happens, and you get to get married. And I know, as Lyra Valkyria might win an IC title, and it might be the second ring that she gets to wear.
Yeah, that's very fair. The other thing, I guess, that we can also add, as was reported yesterday, I think by Donnie or Jimmy, can't remember which, so I apologize, gentlemen, but it's been announced that the Friday, February 28th episode of SmackDown will air from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, leading into the March 1st Elimination Chamber pay-per-view at the Sky Dome, or whatever the hell they call that now.
The Rogers Center or Rogers Arena or
whatever. It's the Sky Dome.
It's like Canadians are like, damn it, it's still the Sky Dome.
Yep.
Until the Blue Jays win a World Series and it and we have to know what the new name is, it's still the Sky Dome.
It will always be the Sky Dome, the same way as, you know, our Scotiabank, whatever the hell it is downtown, is still the Metro Center.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right, I guess let's talk about this show. That I don't know if I can do this, Brad. Like, this is really hurting me, the thought of a 3 hour, you know, SmackDown, like having to sit through 3 hours of SmackDown. What did I get into? How did I agree to this?
I don't know. Listen, I got to tell you, Maddie was totally into watching this and would have probably done another 2 weeks. But then when I told her it was 3 hours, she's like, no, I'm done.
See, you know, your daughter is smart. Like, she taps out and is like, yeah, no, I'm not dealing with this crap.
3 hours is not the problem with the 3 hours, Greg. And I'll say it to you right now, was the fact that it was 3 hours.
Yep.
It was. Yep. And you felt the 3 hours in this episode because there was a lot of filler, which is why we get recap one. Greg, Cody got beat up. Cody, did you know that Cody got beat up?
I did. I forgot to tell you what episode this was.
Oh, what episode are we on?
1,324 of SmackDown from the Footprint Center in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, beautiful spot. This, not great. So Cody's out. He's not supposed to be here because he has a bad neck, like Greg. And he's here against doctor's orders.
Like Greg.
Yep. And I love Cody talking about the excitement and and then at some point I heard them saying, like, did they say timbered? Was that the word they used in this promo? Like tempered, but they said timbered. And I couldn't tell if this was because, like, I was trying to watch it on a faster speed or.
Yeah, I don't know.
You were barely paying attention. All right. The idea of this.
Here's the thing. You knew this was going to be a 20-minute talking segment. So it's like, all right. Buckle whatever up.
And okay, so SmackDown returns to its 3 hours, as one of the announcers said. I'm like, SmackDown has never been 3 hours. Stop it. Stop your lies. So Cody Cox talks about how he wants to have a match and he's gonna wrestle in this, you know, this idea of climb up the ladder. And then out comes Drew McIntyre. He's upset because Cody allied with Roman and I think he's gonna attack, but he hugs. And Drew said, I'm here because I'm the only one that can tell you the truth. You're a generational talent. I need you to you know, you need to take care of yourself. You need to protect yourself. And I have your back. Cody doesn't believe him. And Drew says, fine. He goes to walk away, but he says, watch your back. And then there comes Kevin Owens. And boy, oh boy, do they drop a lot of breadcrumbs in this episode that Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre are on the same page.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. I'm struggling with this, Brad.
Well, they just, so Cody gets beat up and the officials come out to protect Cody. So they try and preserve this match, but Cody is not medically cleared like Greg. And dude, this, like, it wasn't that this was bad. It just was, this was like, you know, when I was going to do this as a solo, I was going to do the scissors and stuff in the middle of this. And I was like, this would have been one that if this was on a 2-hour show and was 10 minutes, this would have been great.
Yeah. That's going to be our problem now, right? Is that all of these things are just too long and they've got 3 hours to fill and it's going to hurt.
Yeah, it was, we are going to feel a lot of bumps in the road and there's going to be matches that go. The good thing is that we're going to get guys who can go in the ring who are going to get enough time to actually show off what they can do. The bad thing is that in between those matches, we're going to get filler and filler and filler. Like,
sure. But how many Akira Tozawa matches are we going to be subjected to at this point for a 3-hour show, right?
I would love to have, at least Akira Tozawa can wrestle. Like, yeah. can you imagine if, like, I hope Almost is having a great trip over to Japan and learning some new holds. But imagine if we had to have a 20-minute Almost match.
Yeah.
Or Great Khali. Like, just pick on a wrestler. I'm picking on big guys there, but Michelle McCool. Michelle McCool comes back for a run. 20 minutes of Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
See, this is... Listen,
don't give them any ideas.
So we're getting lots of matches. They show us all those. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Andrade is our next match. The story of this match is that these two have good chemistry and they're trying to find a way to make it seem like Andrade could win.
Guess what? Doesn't happen.
No. There was a lot of cool stuff in this match, but at the end, Andrade tries to hit something off the top ropes and his legs get pulled out from underneath him. He cracks his skull, like almost like a form of a DDT on top of the turnbuckle, the steel post on the outside. And then Shinsuke like slides across the outside of the ring, comes back in, Kinshasa's Andrade to the back of the head. So Greg, my question to you is, did Andrade lose anything by losing this match?
Did Andrade lose anything? No.
Did he? But is he in a better spot from having a very good match on SmackDown?
No.
So it's a wash.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those ones where they can announce it and you know in advance what you're going to get. Right, you're not going to see Shinsuke Nakamura lose to Andrade, right? I mean, they could have just as well said that he was taking on Carmelo Hayes. You knew just as well what was going to happen.
Well, this is where the idea of rankings would actually come into play.
Oh, so, don't say the R word. Don't say the R word, Brad.
Why?
Because you know what's going to happen. Like, if WWE did that, other companies have tried that in the past, and you know what has happened. After 3 weeks, they forget about it.
Right. This would take, you would have to hire a writer who was like a former sports guy who would actually track these things. And then, and you know, their job would, in the writer's room would be, well, that person has lost 2 matches in a row before you can get them to a title match. They have to win something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would, and you'd have to be willing to alter your storylines to make that make sense.
Right. Yeah, it's yeah. I don't see WWE going that route. But I'm also not sure. I don't know, because Triple H seems to be on this kick of like number one title tournaments up the wazoo, right? Like, I mean, I think he's got a Tuesday tournament and a Thursday tournament, and like. So maybe that's what they're going to go for, is do more of that stuff. I mean, I don't know how they could possibly do more of it, but maybe that's what they're going to do. I don't know. I just,
you know what?
You don't need a champion on TV all the time, is right. I think really what you're saying, what I need to say here, right?
Well, let's do something very simple. So there's 3 or 4 guys in the back. Let's take 4 of them, put them in a fatal 4-way match, and the winner gets a title match in 2 weeks. Yeah. Just little things like that. Like LA Knight, we know LA Knight wants to get his hands on Shinsuke. So yeah. Have LA Knight and Apollo Crews and Andrade and maybe the dude from Legado, one of the guys from Legado, and the four of them fight, and LA Knight miraculously wins and he gets a match with Shinsuke.
Yep.
Just, I mean, it would be better. So LA, speaking of LA Knight, he came out and attacked at the end of this match. Of course, their feud continues. LA Knight's not getting this title back, though.
No.
This is the classic. I feel like this is like 1980s wrestling awesome. Because what happens is you lose the title on TV, and then you do the loop with the rematches. So, dude, do you know that Apollo Crews is on a hot streak?
Apollo Crews is on any streak?
He's on a hot streak. He's on TV pretty much every week now.
Yes, but he's walking backstage. I mean, these all could have been filmed like 3 months ago and no one would know the difference.
You know what the beautiful thing about this is? This reminds me of like JTG being under contract for like years and never appearing on TV, except that Apollo Crews is under contract and he's just like hanging out in the back. Like, can you imagine being this guy? It, like, worst case scenario, he gets released and he has to go back to the indies and bump.
Yeah.
This, he's getting paid WWE money to cut one-liners every once in a while.
To walk around backstage.
And occasionally get kicked in the head.
Yeah.
And work out.
Yep.
And he's home. Like, he works one day a week and then he goes home.
Yeah, because WWE's not running any house shows now.
So this is the greatest gig ever. So Apollo Crews walks through and says, Pretty Deadly's mad at them because he told the truth and they didn't. DIY says, how come you believed Apollo? And there's this whole kerfuffle. Yeah, but you know what? This was actually really good. I didn't do it. I'm not going to go through this word by word. It was funny because DIY and Pretty Deadly play off each other just perfectly.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Recap number two. Chelsea Green won that match almost a month ago.
Yeah. Yep.
My kid pointed out in the 2 weeks she covered for you that we saw this recap every week.
Yeah.
So does this mean we're going to see this recap next week? At this point, I want this recap every week.
Yeah, 100%.
Just every week till like she loses the title, even after she lost the title. Remember when Chelsea Green won the title? It's like that John Cena flashback when he comes out and slaps Kurt Angle and he says ruthless aggression. Well, they just throw that into a package every once in a while. They just throw this Chelsea Green package up every week.
That gives them ideas.
We have to fill this show out, Greg.
They have 3 freaking hours on Friday nights, Brad.
Which is why we got Piper versus Meechan in a match.
I was going to say, and it might not be so bad if they started at like 7 Eastern instead of 8 Eastern.
Yep.
Right? I mean, okay, 8 to 10, okay, 8 to 11 Eastern, I want to shoot myself. I want to shoot myself.
Greg, this match had a Vince, he shall not be named joke, where there was a joke about, Corey Graves wants to sing America the Beautiful, but he didn't want to steal the thunder from the ring announcer. So,
yes, because we didn't talk about that yet. We got a downgrade.
Right. Who's our ring announcer now?
Lillian Garcia.
Yeah. So, yes, we have Lillian Garcia, and they joked about her. She's saying America the Beautiful, not Star Spangled Banner. And that was a reference to He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Like, okay. Legitimate question. How old is Lillian Garcia?
Still hot.
I mean,
it's remarkable how like she looks exactly the same.
Yeah, she's 58.
God dang, she's somebody's grandma.
She's someone's grandma. Yeah, yeah.
Your friends come over. It's like, oh, your mom's really pretty. No, that's my grandma.
Yeah.
Or even worse, your sister. I didn't realize you had an older sister. Still living at home? That's my grandma.
So she's practically a sexagenarian.
Yeah. And I bet you she's doing this for a year. She's padding that pension.
I don't know. I don't know if I could take a year of Lillian Garcia at this point in my life, Brad. I really don't. 3 hours of her every week.
So we also got Meechan twerking in this match.
They're really trying to kill me. They really are.
This match, like, This match,
I'm gonna have to increase my blood pressure meds. Like, that's the only way I'm getting through this.
Two cannonballs in the corner, one hit, one missed, and then eat defeat. And then the highlight of this was maybe they should have a U.S. title match between Meechan and Chelsea Green in a dumpster match.
Yes, that was the line afterward. Chelsea Green here wearing her Wonder Woman ring gear tonight or costume tonight.
Zack Ryder is a lucky man. He's a lucky man.
I'm enjoying at least the Chelsea Green, the Statue of Liberty, I think, while I was away one night. So I'm enjoying the Chelsea Green Americana, whatever she's going to do costume wise and ring gear wise. The next little bit, I'd say let's milk that joke.
Yeah. They really, so you know who else enjoyed that was our YouTube subscribers, because that was a very popular clip when I put up just pictures of Chelsea.
Yeah.
No wonder.
It's no Liv Morgan, I'm sure, but.
It's no Liv Morgan. It's putting our favorite wrestler underneath the Christmas tree.
We'll talk about her in a bit.
We confirm that John Cena is going to be on Raw. And we have a Paul Heyman promo coming up, and he walks around the metal detector. That was funny.
That was pretty funny. I was like, wait, what?
Greg, when I wrote these notes, I didn't have you in mind, because I was thinking about this Paul Heyman promo, and I was like, God dang, Paul came out, and he just caught a heater talking about the importance of the tribal chief, how Solo stole it, and he was being groomed to be for this role, but he couldn't live up to the responsibility. He couldn't wait until it was bestowed upon him the way it was bestowed upon Roman. So Solo didn't want to hear this. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to let you hold the Ula Fala during our match. And then you're going to put it around my neck and everyone's going to be forced to acknowledge me. I think you may have actually enjoyed this from your hospital bed last night.
Yeah, this was, I think if I go back to where I was pre Survivor Series in Vancouver, we had Paul Heyman come out in the red Solo Sikoa red shirt. I think that we're playing the long con here. So I think that we might see the turn for Paul Heyman happening on Monday night.
Well, something has to happen, because there's no way Paul Heyman as a face works.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. So,
and this the feud for the Ula Fala can't end at.
No, because I'm not that goddamn lucky, Brad.
Dude, you know what they're going to do? They should put it, let's have an Ula Fala on a pole match and put all of the Usas in one ring together. The winner gets to be the tribal chief.
Hold on. Let me see if I can get Judy Bagwell to referee this.
Oh my gosh. I had that whole thing that the whole time I was watching this, I'm like, how are they getting The Rock involved in this? That's in my head, especially after hearing him get that stock news. I'm like, how is The Rock getting involved? How is The Rock getting involved?
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen at this point, right? Is I think that's The Rock. This is going to be very convoluted on Monday, but I think The Rock is going to get involved in this match. I think we'll see Paul Heyman's allegiance be clarified in this match. I think there's a lot of stuff here. I just don't know what's next.
Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, like it could be anybody. This could be the messiest match in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns are talking, Greg.
Yes, they are.
I'm not sure. I think they're actually not bad at this. It's just not great either.
It's very mid.
Speaking of mid, DIY versus the Motor City Machine Guns. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because these four guys can all go.
They can, but we just saw this.
And worse than this, we're definitely seeing this again.
Yeah. We just like, and that's the thing that bothers me with this is, okay, you lost, you don't get a rematch anymore by default. Fine, good. So why are we seeing this match again so quickly?
Well, this is a grudge match because they cheated to win. So Nick Aldis is a good guy. He's trying to do this. But meanwhile, because he can't control his locker room, they do all kinds of cool moves. There's all kinds of stuff. We even get this like great potential finisher where it's the fairy tale ending and he holds him up for a second and Johnny Gargano hits a super kick into the fairy tale ending. But none of this matters because Pretty Deadly comes down, distracts, and then out comes Legato, and Legato and Pretty Deadly roll through the ring and basically cause the match to be thrown out.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it feels like if you watch like Bugs Bunny, this is what you would expect to see happen on a Bugs Bunny, you know, if they animated a wrestling match.
It was
like when Tasmanian Devil.
Well, no, what it feels this, the reason this is such a mess, Greg, is we still have the Street Profits lurking around.
Yeah.
So like they're trying to make this thing where it's like all these tag teams are good and all of them can go after the titles. But the problem is there's no, they're trying to come up with stories, but the stories are not great.
No, and here's the thing. If it was me, I wouldn't have Motor City Machine Guns and DIY anywhere near each other for the first 2 months. I would have DIY go, and then they pick someone like a Pretty Deadly, challenge, beat them. Okay, you know what? Next up, I'm going to pick, Otis and Akira Tozawa. And
they could be picking, you know, it'd be a fun way to do this. Pick some mishmash teams from NXT and just have them squash teams for like 3 weeks in a row. And like we're defending the title every week, Nick Aldis. It's not our fault that the people that keep signing the contract first are these.
Exactly.
Idiots.
Yeah. I think that's the exact way I would play this and allow, because DIY has their own thing that they can be doing, but I mean Motor City Machine Guns can be taking on Street Profits, they could be taking on all of these top tier teams and, you know, building the wins up so that way when they come back for DIY, then, you know, it's in a good position. But yeah,
you could have teams like Legato, like Street Profits, like Motor City, they could all be feuding underneath and winning matches, and then finally two or three teams have a match, winner gets a title match. We do that as a big, you know, like the night before a PLE, the big show in the next town, the main event is the tag titles. But they're not, they're trying, and I appreciate the effort. But it's like, yeah, no, guys, you missed it. You didn't read the assignment. Make compelling television, not fill your 3 hour quota.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Now, compelling television was having Nia Jax and Candace in the back talking about how Tiffany screwed up last week. And, you know, why isn't Tiffany here? This was great. This was breadcrumbs.
This was breadcrumbs. You're absolutely right.
And the other good breadcrumb was Sammy and Carmelo, just reminding us that Carmelo and Sammy didn't really settle anything last week. And yeah. And then as, you know, the new bloodline is getting ready to talk about how they're going to handle things, we have Kevin Owens run into the Usos.
Yeah.
Like, these are the kind of backstage scenes that are not just people talking in front of a red screen and throwing into the announcer to talk.
This was actually done really well because when the Usos kind of came into this, Carmelo changed. Carmelo became like the coward in this. And I love this kind of interaction between the two of them. This is actually probably the most compelling thing that they did last night was this segment.
Right. Greg, there were like four feuds they did. We remind us that Sammy and Carmelo have a match. They remind us the Usos are in a thing tonight. They brought Kevin Owens into this mix. Like, it's, and oh, by the way, Braun Strowman still wants to kill Carmelo at some point.
I mean, who doesn't at this point? Let's be honest.
Yeah, he's great. He's doing a great job. If I were WWE, this guy just needs two big heaters to protect him. They ever really want to pull the trigger on the Street Profits being heels, put him with Melo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was great. Oh, gosh. All right. So, Senality is kicked in. Another recap. Yeah, that's why we had to have Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. And then Nick Aldis telling Cody that he has to protect him from himself. And then Cody's like, you're a great boss. But it's on site with Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
This is how we can tell we moved from 2 to 3 hours because we didn't need this clip at all.
No. No, we did not.
You know what we did need? Naomi versus Nia Jax.
Did we need 19 and a half minutes of it, though?
I don't think we ever need Nia Jax for more than 10.
19 minutes and 32 seconds this thing went.
And I have like four notes, which was just basically this match. Sort of this match is Naomi's trying to get there. Both Bianca and Candice are in the corners of their teammates. There's a lot of Naomi getting beat down. She starts hitting her flying moves. And then Tiffy comes out, and we think Tiffy's coming out to cash in the briefcase, but she pushes the referee over. She bashes Naomi in the head, and Nia Jax hits her bonsai drop for the win. There's like a name for that, but I forget.
Yeah, Annihilator.
Oh, that's right, because it's got a pun on Nia.
She hit it on her crotch. Right?
My hole!
Well, I mean, that's basically what she did. She came down on Naomi's crotch, like, and then she scooted ahead partway through. I mean, she didn't come down like on her chest. Now she was kind of up on her stomach. But I was like, wait, what? There was a couple things this match that just didn't quite work. Like the Samoan drop that Naomi did that didn't really actually happen. Like, it was just the weirdest thing ever I've seen. And then the bonsai drop, you're right, that really, you know, like I said, it hit her in the midsection as opposed to like on the chest to take her out. I was just like,
let's not kid ourselves. No one's going to remember any of this match. You know why?
But it was just like 3 hours, Brad. This is when, you know, you feel the 3 hours. And this is when you're really starting to feel those 3 hours.
But you didn't. The moment after the match ended, everybody and the heels are all celebrating the ring. And all of a sudden, Tiffy takes her briefcase and bam, she starts taking people out with the briefcase. She takes out Candice. In comes Bianca Belair to attack Nia and drop her. And then...
Yeah, she just like the KOD from Nia, who's still kind of stunned from one briefcase to the back. Like, seriously? A briefcase to the back has got Nia stunned?
Like, anyways, it doesn't matter. KOD. And then she's smart enough to take out Bianca to make sure nobody can get up and help Nia Jax. Then cashes in. And then hits her prettiest moonsault ever and becomes champion. Greg, yeah. I know it was not a great way to get to this, but I just like the result. It's Tiffy time.
It is, in fact. It is Tiffy time. I am curious as to how this reign of Tiffy will continue. I'm also a little curious to see if there will be any Mandy Rose style pictures for Instagram with Tiffy in her belt, but we will have to wait and see on that. I'm sure that, you know, potential other podcasts will provide great detail on that, but we will wait.
So my autocorrect kicked in last night and turned Tiffy time into Stiffy time.
That is probably the most accurate and apt answer you could probably have there. Yeah.
We then move on to the main event. Well, it's going to be our 6-man match, but first we had to go through, I think, about 6 minutes of tribal combat prep.
So this is when, again, you feel this 3-hour Raw or 3-hour. Yeah. 3-hour Raw. That's what I'm going to start calling this now, because it's what it is.
That's what this episode's called, Greg. That's what this name. You just named the episode.
Yeah, it's the 3-hour Raw. Because in 100% honesty, this is where SmackDown ended last night, was when Tiffy cashed in her Money in the Bank and she is holding that belt at the top of the ramp with fireworks going off. Everyone goes home happy. And then we got this goddamn 6-man match after 10 minutes of a promo for Tribal Combat that I have no desire to see at all.
Like the Tribal Combat match on Monday, I'm dying to see how they're going to book through it.
I'm not, because I'm sick and tired of these fucking tribal combat matches and tribal acknowledgements and acknowledge my ass and shit.
Don't worry. You know what? They've all been drafted to Raw.
No, they can't, because we're the fucking 3-hour show, Brad. They can't draft a Raw. We're getting the crap.
They're the 3-hour show, too.
No, they're not. They're whatever we decide that week, because we're on Netflix. We could be 2 hours 1 week, 6 hours the next. We don't give a crap. But we have to fill 3 hours of TV every single week because, oh, by the way, you don't have to watch this on Netflix if you're in Canada. You turn on USA Network, which is what we get now because WBD and Bell Canada got into a fight and their contract is over.
Wait. Hold on. Say that again. WBD and Bell Canada got in a fight and...
Essentially. Well, I mean, their contract ended. So, like, Discovery Network in Canada, Food Network in Canada, Discovery Velocity, Home and Garden TV, they're all gone now. There's, like, wow. 8 channels that are all gone. One of the ones they replaced it with was USA Network, which is literally the USA Network feed from the U.S. So, if you want to watch SmackDown in Canada, you can turn on USA Network, which, by the way, is free on preview in the month of January. So, you know, tune to your local cable provider.
Greg, we're going to hope that next week we can start about an hour and 15 minutes late, and we can watch the whole show on 1.5.
Brad, I hope and pray, but my level of confidence at this point is going downhill.
Yeah, the Netflix worked okay with the football on Christmas Day.
Oh no, I mean my ability to be able to go back for the 1.5 because when we've done other things when you've been watching you know, like the football and other things, you can't really go back in time as easy. Like there's no restart button, which is one of the things that really is starting to bother me with the Netflix.
Yeah. It's not like at YouTube where you just pull the player all the way back and you go play and it works.
Yeah. So we'll see.
So LA Knight wants his title back. That was his promo.
Whatever. Right.
But this is where I stopped. I stopped right as soon as they started this recap. This is where I stopped last night. And I got up this morning and I watched a 6-man tag. I'm glad I did because this was not a bad match. If I was watching this match as it's like this was on YouTube this morning and I just found it. It was like, oh, this is a house show match. I would be like, oh, this is a pretty good match.
Do you know what this was? This was the dark match to end the show.
This is, and you know what? This was the dark match to end the show. Unfortunately, it was televised. Yep. And this whole thing, I mean, basically you had two segments, one where Jimmy sold and one where Sammy sold. And the whole thing built up so that you could have Jacob Fatu and Jey Uso fighting. And then down comes Drew McIntyre for the distraction. And yeah, Jey hits all of his stuff on Jacob Fatu, but there's a blind tag and Solo comes in, Samoan spikes, and we make Solo look dominant so that he can go into his match looking like a champion. But Jey Uso eats a pin going into his match against Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Greg, this right here, I don't even have to ask you.
Yeah, well, I think, Brad, it's that time.
You got it.
This is your SmackDown Synopsis.
And your SmackDown Synopsis is brought to you by The Hub, where you can get all of your favorite podcasts. You can get podcasts like Steve Swiss, NXT Review. You can get Live Audio Wrestling. You can get The Raw Dogs, Randy C and Eric B. You can get Ringside 5 with George Mackay and his new host. Also, dude, you can get with Jimmy and our good friend Donnie, you can get the Huge Pop Network's main show with live interview news and roundtable discussions each week airing on The Hub, but also on TSN. Check your local listings for time and availability.
All right.
Greg, dear sweet baby Jesus, let's go back through this. So I just feel like I should have my... I'm going to put my fingers near the buzzer and the boo because I feel like that's what you're going to be doing for most of this thing. Cody Rhodes.
I tell you, this 3-hour SmackDown is going to be condensed down to about a 30-minute show. So
Cody Rhodes' initial promo.
Nope.
So that's a... Yeah. Greg, I don't blame you, Greg. That one was not... And anything that was in the back...
Besides the interaction with Sammy.
Some of the promos we'll keep. We'll talk about those individually. But all those walkie in the backs or like there's so much of that stuff. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Andrade.
Nope.
Okay, Greg, what about DIY, Apollo Crews, Pretty Deadly, Nick Aldis, Talking?
Yeah, sure. That can stay.
That's more. Yes, but that's not That's
yeah, that's where we are.
It was when you get this much backstage stuff, some of it is very objectionable, and other times it's like, this is, I can live with this.
Yeah.
So Piper Niven versus Meechin.
Yeah, we superstar this. It's only a 6 minute match or 7 minute match.
Sorry, my sound effect button was faster than your voice. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You kept this because Chelsea Green was in it.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many times that we can hear them say eat defeat without me wanting to pull this little hair out of my head that's left. So
Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa promo.
No, Paul Heyman walking by the metal detector. Yes.
That one is acknowledge
me. Yeah, we were supposed to acknowledge the metal detector and we didn't. Yeah. All right. Paul Heyman and Solo
in a ring.
Yeah, let's keep this.
Yeah, I'll keep the one acknowledge me, because it sets up Monday nicely without. This one wasn't drug out. Like, I feel like I could use 5 more minutes of that.
No, that one was fine. The Monday night, that one was good.
Oh, Greg, I have my finger ready. You ready? DIY versus the Motor City Machine Guns in their grudge match.
Superstar, you basically only need to see the last 2 minutes of this.
I also need
you need to see the Tasmanian Devil scene at the end.
Yeah, I also think I'm going to take one of these keys and turn it into got to go faster, yeah, faster, because that could be the theme of this. The new SmackDown. All right. So, you know, I know the answer to this. And if not, I'm overruling you. Carmelo, the Usos, and Kevin Owens, and everybody kind of bumping into each other in the back.
I was going to say, before that was Nia, Candice, and without Tiffy. So, yes for that, as well as yes for the Sami Zayn, Carmelo part.
Oh, well, that's because
it's Tiffy time.
Better believe it.
So, all those scenes. That's the problem. That's the problem with this, is that they either have really good stuff in the back or it's like
god awful.
On the other hand, Carmelo Hayes has got paid tonight, didn't have to bump. Apollo Crews got paid, didn't have to bump. Like, there's some people, Pretty Deadly didn't bump really either.
They rolled.
They rolled. Legato didn't bump. Like, they rolled. It's really, this show had some stuff in it where you're just like, oh, and then you have things like Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes. You're a great boss.
Nope.
Okay. Naomi versus Nia Jax before the cash in.
Yeah, we're going to superstar this.
And Greg, the cash in.
And we are keeping every minute of the look. For the time Tiffy's music hits, which didn't really hit loud, they needed to turn up the volume on that. But from Tiffy coming out to the end, we're keeping every minute of that because
it's Tiffy time.
Well done, Greg. Okay, buddy. This is, and at this point, SmackDown's over. Goodbye, because I'm going to make an executive decision. From LA Knight to the 6-man tag, you can all.
100%. Like I said, in reality, you needed like 3 backstage segments, five minutes of Tiffy and a cash in, and that's really what you needed on this SmackDown.
The promo that we got between Paul and Solo dropping breadcrumbs, and really the main event. You could just watch it on Twitter or YouTube today and watch from when Drew McIntyre walks out till the end, so that it's like, oh, and even then,
here's the thing, it means absolutely nothing. There's no real implications in it. I mean, Drew McIntyre hates everyone. Great, fantastic. We knew that coming into the show, we know it going out of the show. So, what the hell?
The only way that pays off is if on Monday, in new Shield gear, Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre come out and beat up CM Punk.
In new Shield gear. Who's the third?
Because they come out and beat up CM Punk because they're helping Seth Rollins finish Punk.
Oh, Seth Rollins is the third. Interesting.
That's the faction I want at this point, because it's the three of them against the world. So
the new Shield.
Well, and you know, and don't call them the new Shield. They're just like, they're the three people that make sense. They are the three people who are the, like, arguably, if you look at who are the workhorses in WWE, those are your three workhorses. Those are your three best wrestlers, the guys who do all the stuff, and nobody acknowledges them.
Yeah.
So overall, right. Greg, 40 minutes of SmackDown, and welcome to the 3-hour era. But, dude, you're not looking so good.
No.
Is your neck bothering you?
Yeah, we've talked way too long.
All right. Well, I'm afraid your doctor's not going to let you out to play next week.
That's a distinct possibility, Brad.
So I'll be back next week, maybe with Greg, maybe with somebody else, but we'll be covering SmackDown here for the Hub. Thank you for joining us this week, and we the ones.
Go to the outer limits of your mind.